associate pastors and those kinds of things, but they did talk about some of the horror stories that they've had. And I think probably the most important thing that I could share with you in regards to being in the ministry as an assistant pastor, an associate pastor, or whatever position you're in serving in full-time ministry, is that we really are sure that God's called us and that we haven't kind of worked our way into a position. We really need to know that it's God's calling, because listening to Don and Bill, and we all know that without God's Holy Spirit and without His calling on our life, anything that we might do in the ministry would be fruitless. We really need to have the Holy Spirit, especially in the area of pastoring, whether it be assistant, associate, or senior pastor. I've seen in the 12 years that I've been with Brian, a number of pastors come onto our staff that certainly had a lot of the glamour and glitz and seemed like they had a lot of natural ability, but yet, unfortunately, we didn't see that the calling wasn't on them. It's very hard to see when a guy has all these natural abilities, but yet maybe deep down in his heart, he isn't really a servant. And especially as an assistant pastor and an associate pastor, it's very important that we have a servant's heart, because that's really what we're going to be, as a servant to the senior pastor. Just quickly, when a few years prior to 12 years ago when I started with Brian, I was going to church here, and I was told by someone when I asked about how could I get a job doing anything around here, I was told to go see Romaine. And I thought that was a friend of mine that told me that. But anyway, so a couple of times I went in and asked Romaine if there was anything I could do, pick up trash or whatever. And not only did he say that there wasn't anything available to do, but I dare not do anything because I haven't had enough experience. And he was so right, but I didn't understand it at the time. But today, looking back, I can see now that he knew what hopefully I know, that a man needs to really be seasoned and have some experience and serve amongst the body, within the body, and let God raise him up to a position of full-time service. And so that was my try at getting involved in the ministry. Pastor Brian was an assistant pastor here and taught on Monday night. And so I ended up going to Monday nights, and not really because I even knew Brian, but because another fellow that I did know was in charge of counseling. And they had counseling you could do afterwards with people, just pray with them and minor kinds of things like that. And one Monday night, after I'd been doing that for about 3 or 4 months, I was sitting down on the front pew here after the services were over, and basically the place was about empty, and I had just gotten through praying with the individual that I was talking to, and Brian had finished counseling someone up here, and he had walked down and sat down next to me and started to share with me about the opportunity that he might have to pastor a church in Vista, and kind of just sharing what was on his heart and what he'd been praying about in regards to this church, never saying anything to me about any interest in me, but just sharing. And so he got up and walked down this aisle back to the back of the church. And later I found out that he turned around about halfway down that aisle and looked back at me and went, why did I tell that guy all that stuff? Because we really didn't even know each other, other than he knew my name and knew that I was there to do some little counseling and stuff on Monday night. So it's neat that I know that it's confirmation for me that God did the work and God opened the door for me in the ministry. I come from a business background. I was a salesman. In fact, with my very best friend, he was the president and I was the vice president of this company. And I have a really easy time of manipulating things and opening doors and fitting myself in. And I'm so glad that that didn't happen for me in the ministry, because I can't think of anything that would be worse than to be in the ministry without God calling you. And in the 12 years that I've been in the ministry with Brian, I can't think of anything that's been in my life more enjoyable. It's been difficult, hard times, and really needed to lean on the Lord and a few examples that I learned from Chuck to to get me through the hard times. But fortunately, God will be with you. He won't call you into the ministry without fully and completely equipping you to do everything that you're called to do in whatever position He's called you in. I remember Chuck telling me a story about him being in the parking lot and picking up cigarette butts, and how it's kind of a pet peeve with him that people would you know, just throw their cigarette butts around God's property. I remember him saying this one that somebody had really just like stomped into the ground really hard. And as he was trying to pick up all of the tobacco and paper fibers and so forth, he was kind of grumbling about it, like, boy, if I could catch the guy that did this, I'd like to grind him into the asphalt, and kind of saying things like that. And then he heard this little voice go, well, Chuck, why are you picking these cigarette butts up? Well, for you, Lord. And he said, well, then don't complain about it. And so I caught myself doing that a lot in the early years of ministry and still sometimes now. But I always remember about the Lord speaking to Chuck about that cigarette butt when I'm doing things that I don't want to and I start grumbling about it. 12 years ago when we started, we had 20 people, and the Lord was gracious enough to give us a 3,000 square foot building that was a tear down, but it didn't fall down, so we couldn't collect on the insurance. So it was my job to build it back up again and kind of get it to where we could use it as a church building. And it was Brian's calling to study and to teach the Word of God. And not that he didn't help in the construction, but that was mainly my ministry, was to get those things done. Well, I didn't know that in the beginning. So when Brian asked me to pastor with him, I said yes. And I, you know, seen lots of pastors around here at Calvary and thought, boy, this is going to be great. And so I showed up at Vista, and Brian was reading his Bible and studying. And I said, well, Brian, what shall I do? First day on the job, what shall I do? And he said, well, I don't know, Gaylord. Why don't you go clean the bathrooms? It'd be good. Why don't you do that? And so I went out and cleaned the bathrooms and came back in and said, okay, Brian, I cleaned the bathrooms, and now what would you like me to do? And he said, you know what? If I'm going to have to tell you everything to do, this isn't going to work. So you just go around and figure out what you think you should do and what God would want you to do, and I'm going to study and get ready for the Bible study. And so that's kind of the way our relationship started, and it's really been that way ever since. Brian, Brian's studying, I clean the bathrooms. But, you know, everything that I do is under Brian's covering, and so making sure that I'm doing what he wants me to, of course. But really, we need to be self-starters and self-thinkers, and we need to anticipate what our senior pastor needs. And I was trying to think of a good scripture to use to share with you guys, and the best thing that I could come up with, and I just think it hits home with me a lot, is in Matthew 22, in verses 37, 38, and 39, where it talks about we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind. And then we're to love our neighbors as ourselves, as much as we would ourselves. I don't know how you could get by in the ministry being an assistant pastor, an associate pastor, if you didn't love your pastor. And that may sound overboard to some of you, but I am just madly in love with the man that I serve. And I'm madly in love with Jesus Christ. And ultimately, and number one, I'm serving the Lord. But God's called me to serve Brian. And as far as I know, that's a forever calling. And there's no way that I could serve any man, even my very best friend, like I can serve Brian, because I've got the power of the Holy Spirit to do that with. My very best friend and I mentioned earlier, we were in business together, and I was in a sense serving him, but no way did I serve him like I served Brian, and I was much closer to him than I am to Brian as far as being a personal friend. So you can serve someone even though they're not your best friend or someone that necessarily spends a lot of time with you. But I think if you're going to be successful as an assistant or an associate, you must really, really deep down in your heart care for the man that you're serving. You need to care for his teaching. You need to care for the way he ministers. You need to be behind him in every single aspect of the ministry. And if you can't openly and honestly do that, you need to move on. You either weren't called or you're with the wrong man. You need to be serving under a man that you can support in every way. And it gets challenging when you're with the staff of the church. Now, in the beginning, the staff was just me, so it only was challenging between me and God to get my life straight where I understood, you know, my obedience to Brian. But as the church grows, or if you're in a church that already has other staff people, it's amazing how there's underlining tones where the staff's not too pleased about the pastor. They don't like the way he taught this, or they're critiquing that about him, or where is he when we're doing this and these kind of things. And you need to be someone that stands in there and says, wait a minute, you guys don't ever talk about the pastor that way. If you're going to say anything about the pastor, or you don't like the way he teaches or whatever, you either go talk to him or you just leave. So you need to be loyal and obedient to Him. You know, God calls us to be obedient and loyal to His Word, and that's exactly what His Word would say for us as assistant pastors. There's a lot of things, and I wish I had some notes up here from all of you, the things you're going through and the things you're kind of dealing with and questions that you might have that I might hit on some of those. But I'd just like to say that coming from a sales background, and for those of you that have been in sales or know anything about sales, you don't have to know anything about sales to be in sales. So I didn't know a lot going into the ministry. It's not like I had a trade or a lot of experience in something. But when you start in a new church, and if you don't have one, maybe you're renting a building, maybe you'll be getting one soon, but when you start in a new building, you kind of have to start from scratch and learn everything. And you can't go to the senior pastor to teach it to you because that would take up all his time. He needs to be doing other things. So we had to put in a sound system and had to run the electrical lines to the mics. And for years I sat here and watched the guy wind up all these mic cords. And I thought, it's amazing he knows where to plug those in and how to make that work. Well, I had to learn that on my own. And that's nothing really that I had the ability to do. That was just something that God had called me to do, and God enabled me to do it. Showed me how to research it and find out about it. So don't be intimidated by anything that you may have to do in the ministry. You know, guys always talk a lot about cleaning the bathrooms and doing the windows and those kind of things. Well, those are the easy things, really. The hard things are that some things that take technical knowledge and so forth, and you may have to just go out and research that kind of stuff. Because in our church, we didn't have anything but just the building. So we had to get new lighting, we had to get air conditioning, we had to have a sound system, we had to do all of those things. And we didn't have any money. And that was another letdown in the ministry. I thought, you know, money, I'd get some money. But I worked there for a year. Brian and I both worked there for a year and didn't have any paychecks because the church was in debt. There was only 20 people there. Well, actually, there was about 40 people there, but after we got there, 20 of them left. But there was thousands of dollars of bad debts around town, and we certainly wanted to clear the name of the Lord and get those debts paid off. So we didn't have any salary and didn't know that we ever really would have one that would amount to anything. And we've proven that we don't have any that amounts to anything. But anyway, it just helped both of us to see that we were there really just to serve the Lord and to get the gospel out. But in doing things that the building needed, supplies and all that kind of stuff, you really have to be wise in, how are you going to get a sound system? You know, sound boards cost thousands of dollars. But you have to look in they have like a penny saver thing for electronics people, and you can find things for sale in there. And so that's what we did. So for very little money, we were able to get a church that was functionable and usable. And I would just encourage you to pray over those things and really look to do it that way, because unless you are in a ministry that has endless funds, I would much rather see our money spent on another staff person or a missionary person or establishing another church than I would to buy a $10,000 soundboard. So if there's another way to do it, then I think that's the way to do it. And our church has not been blessed with a bank account. Everything that comes in our church goes right back out again into ministry things and not into equipment, so to speak. My responsibilities at the church are still kind of Brian teaches and I do the other things. So I'm responsible for the finances and paying the bills and dealing with the staff and all of those kind of mechanical kind of things of the ministry. So I'm only kind of telling you that, not to boast about all the things that I'm in charge of, but just so that maybe in the next 2 days, if you have any questions, I could get together with you afterwards and maybe be able to answer some of them. If you're here and you're in the ministry and you're thinking that this is going to be a training time for you and that you'd really like to be a senior pastor and start your own ministry one day, I want to give you a couple of words of wisdom. Number one, being an assistant or an associate means that you're submitted and totally committed to the pastor that God has over you. God speaks to the pastor speaks to you as far as that ministry, his ministry. I would say that before you should go out, you should definitely get confirmation from your pastor that, yes, you're ready, this is the time, this looks like it could be the opportunity, and then the pastor would have you pray about it, and God would speak directly to you in your heart if this looks like the ministry that you should go into. But you need to get that confirmation from your pastor. We've had numerous guys go out of our fellowship that never were on staff anywhere. but looked like they had the abilities and so forth and went out and really had a difficult time. The guys that seem to make it, even in small ministries when they go out and start Bible studies and that develop into churches, are people that have spent some time serving as assistant pastors at the church under Brian and myself and just doing the duties of the everyday functions of the church. They go out and know what they're doing when they rent a building and what kind of equipment to buy and how to put it in, and they know how to save money and live within the means that God's provided. I think everybody in here wants to be in God's perfect will. And I know that in the church, and whatever church you're involved in, I know that you probably run your church as God provides financially, that you don't go out and finance just a bunch of stuff and hope God's going to bless somehow so you can pay the bills. But you know what's really important for assistants? As they start preparing and thinking that they're going to one day be a senior pastor, maybe 1 year down the road, maybe 6 or 7 years down the road, is that you live within the means financially that God provides for you. I'm a real firm believer that that means that if you need to buy a car, you need to save up the money and then buy the car. If you need to buy anything, you need to wait for God to provide the money for it. You don't know if you go out and finance something, if God really wants you to have it or not. And it eliminates a lot of possibilities for you guys to actually go out and start a ministry if you're going out with all of these bills and debts. And God knows exactly what your needs are. God knows how much money you need for transportation and so forth. And as those opportunities come up, most Calvary chapels, as you probably know, start from home fellowships or just really small groups of people, maybe 15 or 20 people in Idaho or somewhere that would like to have a pastor come out and teach. They can't afford a pastor that needs $25,000 a year or $20,000 a year or even $15,000 a year. So it's real important to say to yourself, I think, that I want to live within the means that God's provided for me because I trust God for my salvation. I trust Him for eternity. I trust Him for much greater things than that. I can certainly trust God. We trust Him for the church that He'll meet the needs that we have in the church. Then we need to trust Him for our own personal life. That way, when it does become time for you to be called out, that you don't have that cumbersome problem of, you know, big debts. I even believe that you need to be real careful about if you're a young man and you're on staff somewhere as an assistant pastor, you need to pray and think real carefully about starting your family. Those are big expenses, and if your idea is to go out and start a ministry, then you're going to be taking all those expenses with you. And I'm not saying that God can't do that. God can't provide you a position for $25,000 or $30,000 or $35,000 a year. Certainly He could do that. But my experience in seeing the doors that God opens for new Calvary chapels, that's a real problem, is the finances. So better to go there where you're self-sufficient, where you can get a little job and pay for your own salary, and teach a Bible study or teach at the church and be able to provide your own income. And it seems like that's where God really blesses, that we not be hirelings, that we really be there to serve the people. And as God sees fit, He'll entrust us with more money and more finances, and if God builds the church, it'll be perfect. I think, too, also about Chuck, in thinking about his 17 years of ministering before Calvary Chapel, and he always, it seemed like, I can't say always, but a lot of the time, had side jobs to enable him to serve the Lord. So I think that's something that we certainly need to think about and pray about, that we not get over financially encumbered, because it'll make it real difficult for the God to take you out of that church that you're in now and into one that doesn't have any finances. So Paul's going to come up and share with you now. I think my time's about up. And then we're going to have a time of questions, and hopefully we'll have a time of some answers for them. And Paul and I both would really be blessed if you guys have any other questions that we couldn't get at this point that we could get with you later. Thank you.
The two of us also agreed that if you ask any questions that we can't answer, we've got Romaine on standby. Anyway, you know, we harass Romaine a lot, but I've always been real thankful that he's been there down through the years, because there have been those times that I needed to call him, and he was always there and never beats around the bush, just gives you a very blunt answer, and you go about your business. My name is Paul Havsgard, and I'm the assistant pastor to Greg Laurie up at Harvest Christian Fellowship up in Riverside. And like Gaylord, I go back a long ways, in fact, clear back to the very start. I remember when Greg was 19 years old, he had hair down to his shoulders. Of course, back then I was a lot thinner, too, so I mean, a lot's changed since then. But anyway, Greg had come to Riverside, I believe it was in May of 1972, and my wife and I were in the process of getting a divorce at that time, and we were invited by a friend to come to that Bible study that Greg was teaching, and on October 16th of 1972, we gave our lives to the Lord, and as a result, the Lord healed our marriage, and now we're coming up on our 28th wedding anniversary by the grace of God. But, you know, it's, for me, I find that it's a whole lot easier to be an assistant pastor and just do what I do than it is to try and sit down and to, you know, put it into a few points because, it is something that you really grow into. And one of the things that we have done with our pastors on staff is every one of them are guys that have come up through the ministry. They have, you know, been a part of the ministry. They've been involved in serving in one way or another. And then at some point, God has really shown us that they are to be brought on staff as a pastor. And so I'm very thankful for the working of God and how he's brought each of these men into that position. I know that back when my wife and I first got saved, there was 50 people at what was Calvary. In fact, it was even before Calvary Chapel of Riverside. It was kind of like the church with no name at that point. But 50 people back in 1972. And a matter of a couple months after we got saved, Greg came over and asked us if we would start a Sunday school class. And the reason he asked us is because we had the only child in the church at the time. And the very first week that we opened the Sunday school, it was me and Kathy and our daughter. That's all there was. And so we've had the privilege of watching God's working down through the years. And I find it very hard to come up with enough adjectives to describe what a wonderful thing God has done. And as I came down this year, I'm just astounded at the amount of people that are here. And it's just like, I don't know where they're going to go next year or the year after because, I mean, this facility is just jam-packed and it's so great to fellowship with all of you. I was a part there of Riverside from when we got saved. Kathy and I have been a part of it since then. In 1976, Greg asked me to come on staff as one of his pastors. And again, I related to Gaylord because once I came on my first day, I wasn't sure what to do. And Greg said, well, you're on staff now. Now you need to go and find out what you're supposed to be doing here. And so it was just something that, you know, the Lord was working. And in the early days of ministry, you find that there are always plenty of things to be done. And so you look to the Lord and God does that molding and shaping in your lives. In 1980, the Lord opened the opportunity for me to go up to Calvary Chapel up in the high desert, and I went up there and was there for 4.5 years, from 1980 to the middle of 1984. And then in 1984, Greg called and asked if I would come back to Riverside as his assistant pastor, and we've been there ever since. So there's a lot of things that could be shared, but I would like you, if you would, turn with me to Philippians chapter 2 this morning. I want to give you four things that I think are very important for us as we're in the ministry. You'll notice that some of these have already been touched on by Gaylord, and we didn't sit down and compare notes, so I just feel it's something that we can go ahead and re-emphasize. Philippians chapter 2, I'm sure you're very familiar with. And I think for anybody in ministry, for any Christian, obviously, but especially for us as pastors and assistant pastors, I think chapter 2 is a very foundational place for us to be. And it's so great because it points us to the example or the model of Jesus Christ. The title of this conference is God's Model for the Church. And there's really a model in Philippians chapter 2 for you and I as we're going to effectively serve as an assistant or an associate pastor. The first thing that I believe is so critical for us is where it says that we are to have this mind in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, in verse 5. So the first saying, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. There are many things that we could cover today having to do with that, but I think that primarily we see immediately come to the surface the humility of Jesus Christ and his concern with the welfare of others. And I believe as assistant and associate pastors that we need to come into our position with a humility and a desire to serve not only the senior pastor, but to serve the people of the congregation. I know that my position as an assistant is to do all that I can to free Pastor Greg to devote his time to the study of the Word and to prayer. And I want to do everything that I possibly can, working with the rest of our staff to be able to minister to the body of believers, that Greg can go ahead and continue to focus on his studies and on prayer, and to know that the other responsibilities will all be taken care of. Again, concerning the example of Jesus, he's the one that said, I came not to be ministered to, but to minister. And again, for me, it means that I'm not there to be served, but I'm there to serve and to minister to the needs of those around me. Like Gaylord, I very much love the position that God has put me into. And, you know, if the Lord wants to leave me in that position until he takes me home to be with him, I would be very content with it. It's something that I look forward to going to work in the morning. I enjoy what I do. And I even hesitate to call it work because, you know, it seems so hard to call it work when you enjoy doing it. And it's what you want to do in the first place. And so it's something that I wouldn't trade for anything. And it's a burden of my heart is to be able to serve the church and especially to be able to minister to Greg as his assistant pastor. But in my position, it's not just me that is assisting Greg, but we also have the blessing of having a wonderful staff of guys along with us. In addition to myself and Pastor Greg, we have 9 additional pastors, and each one of them covers just a broad spectrum of responsibilities. And I think it's a very great position to be able to minister with them as we're all going forth to share the gospel of Christ. Concerning humility and serving others, F.B. Meyer once said, I used to think that God's gifts were on shelves one above the other, and that the taller we grew in Christian character, the easier we could reach them. After many years, I now find that God's gifts are on shelves one beneath the other. It is not a question of growing taller, but of stooping lower, that we have to go down, always down, to get God's best gifts. And so for you and I to effectively be assistant and associate pastors, we need to have the mind of Christ, to be men that have a mind of humility, and it's our heart's desire to serve other people, serving our senior pastor, and to serve the flock that God has made us to be a part of. The second thing I'd like to point out here in Philippians 2 is found in verse 7. We're speaking of Jesus. It said that he made of himself no reputation. And you know, it may be true that at some point along the line, God will take you out and have you start a church of your own. You'll become a senior pastor of your own body of believers. But in the meantime, what God wants us to do is to not be making of ourselves a reputation, but to be busy ministering and serving in that capacity that God has called us to do. I think that probably before this week started, many of you probably didn't even know who Paul Havsgard or Gaylord were. And, you know, you look in the announcements and you see our names, but you don't know who we are. And that's good, because we're not in our positions to make a reputation for ourselves, but to assist the man that God has placed us under, that we're there to assist him in any way that we possibly can. In fact, it was interesting because until yesterday, I didn't even know what Gaylord looked like, nor did he know what I looked like. And so when I'm asking people, I said, you know, can anybody tell me what Gaylord looks like so I know who I'm looking for? And they all said, well, all you need to do is look for a gray-haired surfer and you'll be able to track him down. Well, I've got to tell you, there's at least 50 people that fit that description here. And then I got thinking, I thought, you know, I really don't know what, I don't want to know how they describe me so that Gaylord could end up looking for me. But, you know, it's neat because we're not in our position to acquire a reputation, but to serve. And I know that as Greg's assistant, anything that he ever requires of me, I want to be able to do it and to carry it forth in a way that is going to get the job done so that he doesn't have to worry about it. I think for most of us as assistant pastors, the bulk of what we do is behind the scenes, so to speak. And there's one man in the scripture who really stands out to me as a great assistant, and that is the man Elisha. And if you haven't read about him recently, you may want to go back into the book of 2 Kings, because in chapter 3 and verse 11, it says that Elisha was known as the man who poured water on the hands of Elijah. And to pour water on the hands of someone was to be a servant. And here Elisha is, he's known as the man who served Elijah. And I have no problem with being known as a man that serves not only Jesus Christ, but in my daily activities, I don't mind being known as a man that serves Greg Laurie as a senior pastor. And I am very blessed to be able to do that and to be a part of that ministry. In the life of Elisha, we see that later on, God led him out into a powerful ministry. But even without knowing that, Elisha learned, first of all, how to serve. He was faithful in the little things, and he was faithful where God had placed him to be. So if God has put you in a position, as he has me, to be an assistant to a senior pastor, then what you and I need to do is to be faithful to God in all of the responsibilities that he gives to us. Another one that stands out to me in the scriptures is the man Joshua. And like Elisha, he was faithful in the little things. In Exodus chapter 24, verse 13, it speaks of him as Moses' minister, one who ministered to Moses. Exodus 33:11 speaks of him as Moses' servant. And we also know in Exodus 17:10, that it says that Joshua did all that Moses said to him. So he was obedient as a servant and as a minister to Moses, that if Moses asked him to do something, he immediately went and saw that it was taken care of. And in the same way, I want to be a great assistant, even as Elisha was to Elijah, even as Joshua was to Moses. I want to be there to be an assistant and to do all that I can to make Pastor Greg's job and responsibility easier for him. I want him to be able to do what God has called him to do and not have to worry about the daily things of the church, that he can go about his business and know that things are going to be taken care of in the right way. We also need to remember that this whole thing is a part of making ourselves no reputation, but to be faithful and serve God in that position that we're in. And, you know, sometimes people struggle with that, but as I look into the scriptures, I see that God himself was willing to come down and take on the form of a man, and it says that Jesus was one that came to minister, not to be ministered to, and if God could make himself of no reputation, then surely you and I can do the same thing. The third point I'd like to bring out is found there in verse 14, and it says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing." And, you know, it's very sad, but this does happen along the way, and it's something that obviously Gaylord has encountered along the way, and I have also. And where it says to do all things without complaining and disputing, the word disputing also means without arguing or questioning. And, you know, sometimes it's easy when the senior pastor makes a decision to think to yourself, well, that's not the way I would do it. And, you know, you sit there and maybe murmur and complain. And, you know, we see in the scriptures that that is something that's wrong. It is listed in the scripture as sinful. And if it's something that we're guilty of, we need to repent of it and to not do that anymore. When you look back in the scriptures, you remember back in Numbers chapter 12, where Miriam and Aaron were murmuring against Moses and, you know, making all of their little comments. And God saw it in such a severe way that he caused Miriam to have leprosy. And I think if God was still doing that kind of thing today, there'd be a lot of people with leprosy today because of the murmuring in that, which is absolutely something that should not be taking place. And, You know, if it's something that any of you have done or been doing, it needs to be stopped, and you need to ask God's forgiveness and not allow it to be a part of your life anymore. I think of David. Even after God had called him to be the next king of Israel, he had many opportunities, as we know, to be able to get rid of Saul. But David was very respectful and would do nothing against God's anointed. And you and I need to remember that that pastor that God has placed us under has been placed there by God. And what we need to do is to be obedient and to do what God has called us to do, and to remember to pray for our pastor and to ask God to continue his working in his life. If the Lord ever takes you out to a point of being a senior pastor on your own, I can promise you that you will see things in a very different light. I know that when I went to the high desert back in 1980, as I look back, I realized that there had been times where I kind of murmured and grumbled because I didn't agree with everything that Pastor Greg did. But I can honestly tell you that within the first year in the high desert, I had to call Greg and to ask him to forgive me for my attitude and some of the things. And it's not like it was bad, but, you know, it doesn't mean that God doesn't say you shouldn't complain just a little. It's something that we shouldn't do at all. And in the first year in the high desert, I realized how wrong I had been on some of those occasions. And I also found myself in a position of making decisions that a lot of people didn't agree with. I had people that got upset with me. I had people that left the church. But I realized as a pastor there was one thing that I had to do, and that was to please God no matter what anybody thought. And so I realized from that point on that, you know, even though I don't always understand, I'm going to pray. And my time in the high desert really prepared me for when I went back to be Greg's assistant in 1984, because from the day that God began to minister those things to my heart, I have prayed diligently for Pastor Greg, and I do to this day. And if you find yourself in a position of wanting to murmur and complain, I've got a cure. You need to go before God and pray. And if you pray and allow that to be resting in God's hands, then we don't have any reason to be complaining or murmuring or questioning. And, you know, I thank God for the relationship that I have with Greg because, you know, there are times that we have different viewpoints and I can express, you know, the way I see it. But in the same manner, I will also submit to his final decision, and whatever he decides to do, I will totally back him up and see that that's carried out. And I want him to always know that I'm there to support and encourage him. And I also want him to know that at all times, I'm there to pray for him diligently, that God would continue to use him and to work through his life. Another scripture you may want to turn to in your spare time is over in Exodus 33, verse 11, which I referred to just a minute ago. But it's interesting because at that point, Joshua and Moses had gone into the tabernacle. The cloud of the Lord had come down to the tabernacle, and it says that the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, and then Moses went back out to the people, but Joshua, a young man, remained behind. And we're not told what he did in remaining behind, but it could be that he remained behind to pray for Moses. It could be that he remained behind to pray for the people. It could be that he remained behind to pray for himself. But we see in him a man that was faithful, a man that stayed behind in the tabernacle even when Moses wasn't there. And so we need also to learn to be men of prayer, lifting our senior pastor to the Lord on a daily basis and just intervening on his behalf and lifting him to the Lord. Also, should we not only should we not murmur and complain concerning things that our senior pastor decides, but we also should not grumble or complain about what God is doing in someone else's life or ministry. And I think that we realize quickly that it's easy to weep with those that weep, but it's not always easy to rejoice with somebody that you've been ministering with that gets put into a position that you'd like to have. But once again, if we have that attitude, we need to pray that God would change our hearts so that we're not envious, but that we're being faithful to what God has called us to do, and then we can truly rejoice with our brothers as God is working in their life as well. And the fourth and final thing I'd like to point out from this section of Scripture is found in verse 16. And there it says that we are to hold fast the word of life. Now, first of all, it means that we're to hold it forth to others, that we hold the word of God out to others. We share the word of God. And that's just one of our great burdens as a minister, is to teach and to share the word of God, to put the gospel out to the people. But we also need to remember that in our own lives, there needs to be a real closeness to the working of the word of God. And as we look around over the last few years, we have seen a lot of men that have fallen in their ministries. And as we look, we see that it goes back to not staying rooted and grounded in the word and obeying the word. It has been said that this book will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from this book. You and I, as assistant and associate pastors, need to be men who are rooted and grounded in the word of God. We can't neglect our daily time in the word. We can't neglect our daily time of prayer. It has got to be foundational for all that we do. I know a lot of times that if you are in the position that I am, you may get a call on Saturday night and the senior pastor is feeling sick. And I know there have been those times where Greg will call and he'll tell me that he's feeling sick, and he says, "You may be on tomorrow morning. I'll call you between 5:30 and 6 in the morning and let you know." Well, I can't go to sleep until I've got a Bible study done, because I can't wait till 5:30 in the morning and he calls and says, "Paul, you got it." I mean, I can't put together a study in 2 hours and be prepared to minister to the people. So I stay up on Saturday night until that study is done and ready to go. And then I get up early the next morning and I'm ready to go with it one way or the other. And, you know, it seems kind of silly, because most of us really count it a privilege and an honor to be able to step in and to teach in those situations. But I have known assistants that, you know, they'll offer excuses and say, "Well, you know, I'd really like to, but I can't because of this reason or whatever." But for me, if Greg calls and needs me to do that, I'm always going to be willing to jump in, and not only willing, but to count it an honor and a privilege to be able to do that. I believe as a part of that serving that we need to do all that we can. And, you know, I believe that if Greg is to ask me to get him a cup of coffee, that I'll go and do that. Now, Greg doesn't ask me to go and get him a cup of coffee, but there are a lot of times that I'll ask him if he would like one. And we need to have that servant's heart in all that we do, that if there's anything that we can do to minister to their needs, that it's something that we're willing to do. You know, Gaylord was sharing about Romaine and having him go and clean the restrooms. And those things are very much a part of our training. But even as we continue to grow in ministry, we must never lose the heart of a servant. And again, we're pointed back to Jesus Christ and the example that he gave to us. So, in closing, I would point you to two examples that go on in this chapter to study on your own. One of them is the example of Timothy. If you read about that in verses 19 through 23, the Apostle Paul speaks of him as being one who is like-minded, who sincerely cares for the state of the people, and he's seeking the needs of the people. He wants to see that they're ministered to, and that Timothy did this as a son with his father as he served the Apostle Paul. And then the second man to study is Epaphroditus in verses 24 and 25. And we're not given a lot of details about him, but you notice there that he says, "I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, my fellow worker, my fellow soldier, but your messenger," and notice, "the one who ministered to my need." And here he was, Epaphroditus, willing to minister to the needs of the Apostle Paul. If Paul wanted to send him to minister to other people, he was ready to go. Jim Elliot once made a statement concerning missionaries that I think applies to us as assistant and associate pastors as well. He said that missionaries are a bunch of nobodies trying to exalt somebody. And that is what we ultimately are to do as assistant and associate pastors. We are a bunch of nobodies trying to exalt somebody. And let me emphasize, the somebody that we're wanting to exalt is Jesus Christ, not our senior pastor. But we want to exalt Jesus Christ. And the bottom line is if you and I are truly exalting Jesus Christ in our position, we will be the assistant or associate pastor that God has called us to be, and that in turn will give our senior pastor the freedom to be all that God has called him to be. So I hope that each one of you in the position that God has you, that you do count it an honor and a privilege that God has allowed you to be there. And as long as God allows you to be there, then you give it 100% of everything that you've got, and you realize and remember that you're there to minister to the senior pastor and to the flock that God has placed you as a part of, and to do all of it with the mind of Christ, not making a reputation for ourselves, but truly looking on the needs of other people and doing all that we can to minister to them. And I, for one, thank God for the opportunity. And I pray that in the capacity God has placed you, that you would have the same joy and everything in your heart as you serve him. At this time, we'll have Gaylord come back over, and we'll open it up to questions and answers. We won't promise to have an answer for every question. And just keep in mind, if you make it too hard, we're going to have Romaine come out. Any questions? Okay, you touched on it. You want to go ahead and answer that?
I would deal with it myself. It would depend on exactly what it was. I mean, there are certain things that that I feel like I would direct the people to the senior pastor, to Brian. But for the most part, I would handle it myself and straighten them out on it so that they would see it the way it was presented. If they were complaining about some teaching or something like that, you need to be in support of your pastor and what he teaches. And you say you disagreed with him, but I don't know exactly what you said beyond that. But you know, if you disagree with him, still you have to support him. I mean, you know, our pastor doesn't make us, clone us that we have to believe every single solitary thing exactly the way he does. But we do have to stand behind the way he believes and with the people and so forth. And there are never any major issues that we don't stand behind Brian in. So that's it. I would try to deal with those people and, again, to free Brian up to do what God's called him to do. There are times, though, that you might send him to the pastor.
Just all the way in the center. I think, first of all, is, you know, I wouldn't make a step to bring anybody on as an assistant until I was very confident that it was the man that God had, you know, called into that position. Bill Ritchie was sharing yesterday, it's very hard when you bring somebody on and, you know, you find out later that it was the wrong person. It's very hard to undo it. So it's much better and I think much wiser to wait. It's difficult along the way because it means usually more responsibilities on you. But I know that I would much rather have that absolute assurance that God has called the man that I'm asking to come on to be my assistant. Because in the long run, if you put the wrong person in that position, you're going to have a lot more headaches and troubles than you do now. So I would just continue to pray and to wait for God to speak to my heart about the man that he wants in that position. You know, from my perspective, I think that there's a lot of interchanging, and I guess it depends on how you want to define it. I know for all of us, I mean, we're basically there in Riverside. There's 10 of us that are there to assist Greg. And I mean, we've all got the same desires to serve him. We've got different areas of responsibility. And so, you know, I guess it just depends on how you want to define the roles.
I think if you look it up in the dictionary, you'll find assistants are to assist the pastor. An associate is like partners with the pastor over the assistants along with the pastor, but the senior pastor definitely being the head of the ministry. So I think that's what you would find in the dictionary. And with Brian and I, we co-pastor with him being the senior pastor and the head of the ministry and me under him, and then all the other assistants and employees and so forth and staff people under us. To get involved with the credit union, the question was, about going into ministry and getting involved in the credit union, to use the credit union to finance some of your ministry needs or personal needs. I believe that where God's guiding, He'll provide. And so I wouldn't get involved in a credit union. I wouldn't finance on a MasterCard or those kind of things. With the exception of if you knew the money was coming in or something, you know, you could do something temporarily. But I believe in, whether you want to buy equipment for your church or you want to sponsor a crusade or whatever, I believe that God will provide that. I mean, we've got a great God. He's got tons of money. And we just, it's just so scary to get out in front of Him and end up with these bills and then say, God, you've got to come through. Where are you? It's just better to be right behind Him and not be in front of Him.
In my experience, I had found that for quite some time, God had been putting a desire in my heart to go into the ministry. And even shortly before Greg had asked me to come on staff, it was something that I knew without any hesitation, God was calling me into the ministry. My wife, Kathy, and I, we had our own business at that time. And, even she was saying, Paul, I think that the Lord wants us to just shut the business down and for you to just trust the Lord that He's going to take you into the ministry. And it's like I knew it in my head, and I believed it with all my heart, but not to the point of shutting the business down and being willing to walk away. Both of our mothers were telling us the same thing, and I was resistant, so finally the Lord just shut it down for me, and we didn't have any business come in. And with no money coming in, I couldn't get any orders for a month, so I said, all right, Lord, we packed it up. And it was just a short time after that Greg called me into his office and asked me if I would pray about coming on staff as his assistant. And it was at that point, Greg, I don't need to pray about it. God has already spoken very clearly to my heart that this is what He wants me to do. So it's a good point, because God does need to really confirm that. And you've got to really have a desire in your heart, knowing that that's what God has called you to do.
My experience is not much different, really. I never, prior to Brian asking me, I never really had thought about being an assistant pastor or being a pastor of any kind. I loved serving, and when Brian had, I mentioned to you guys about when he talked to me in the pew and so forth, I didn't have a clue what that was about, and neither did he at the time. But knowing that he had needs, that he was going to be moving down there and different things, I volunteered to help him. At the time, I had chose a profession that I could have as much time off as I wanted and still be able to make a fair living. So I had plenty of freedom to do that. So I would help them move down. I did Sunday school for them. Brian and Cheryl down in Vista. I organized the concerts on Saturday night, spoke at the concerts on Saturday night. Did whatever he needed to have done until the Lord would raise people up in the body there to do those things. And it was a small church, and they needed to be in the Bible study. So I was doing those things. And it wasn't until really the day that he asked me that I knew that that's what I wanted to do. I was just in love with Brian and Cheryl, the family, the church, the whole ministry there. And I loved serving. And it's really what I had been doing, but not with any kind of a title. I just was doing it because that's what I wanted to do. And when he said, it was kind of like saying, Gaylord, would you like to do what you're doing now, but do it forever and do it with me? And we'd do it together, and I, yes, that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah, I would just add one more thing on my part, because I totally agree with that, is, before Greg had ever asked me or before God spoke to me, it's like I was already teaching Bible studies. I was already counseling, already doing those things. And, you come to the point when you get asked to come on staff, it's like, you mean I get to do everything that I want to do and I'm going to get paid for it on top of it? And, I was used to doing a regular, job and everything else, doing this on the side. And, that's why, I consider it, just a great blessing that God allows us to be in ministry. And it's so important that we don't, murmur and grumble. I mean, God has given us a privilege that there are a lot of people that would give anything to do what we're doing. So I think that out of all people, we are truly most blessed in being able to do that. Maybe one more question for the, I guess I got lunch ready out there, right on the aisle.
Brian forgot the pay part with me.
He did?
Yeah, he forgot the pay part.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
There isn't a 5-minute answer to that one. You know, usually I think it's something that goes through a long process. It isn't something that just happens. And so there's a progression of things that would need to be done. And, you know, I think it would almost have to be dealt with situation by situation because there's, you know, so many varying factors that are tied into it. But, you know, I think Bill Ritchie had commented yesterday that, you know, it's one of the hardest things that you have to do to let any employee go. And if you're talking somebody that's in a pastoral ministry, I mean, I can't imagine anything being any harder than to have to do that.
I would agree. It's very difficult. But I try to see those situations as really loving and caring enough about that assistant that you've been working with for a year or two or three, that you care enough about him to want to do that with him. Because obviously there's something wrong in his service or something. And to care enough about the person to sit down with them in a loving environment and going over the situation and showing him how this is the way God's going to work this out and so forth, I think I try to take that approach with the people that really this is something that's going to benefit you. It's really not something that's negative in one way and the benefit they'll get out of it.
Well, I think we can go ahead and break for lunch. And Gaylord had mentioned earlier that we'd be happy to talk with any of you during the course of the conference if we can help in any way, or we'd enjoy just getting to fellowship with you. So we'll meet you at the lunch tables. God bless you.
This is the end of side two and the end of this message. If you would like further information on tapes, contact Chapel Tapes. The address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628.